This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Jonathan Roney of RANDplan. Jonathan, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, Donnie, no problem, and I appreciate the opportunity to have some interesting discourse, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. So first off, for those who may not be familiar with RANDplan, can you tell us a little bit about what the company does?
So primarily, RANDplan is a software design company. We were established or founded, I guess, way back in 2006. We really are born out of, you know, a really strong research and development background, and we bring that to our products. So, you know, our partners are always at the cutting edge, so to speak, of technology standards and best practices. Our first commercial release was in 2014, and the software that we develop is RF design, so radio frequency design and optimization software for both in-building and outdoor networks.
Okay. Well, speaking of the in-building side, do you believe that the technology deployed today for in-building public safety systems best ensures the safety of the public?
That's a really good question, and I guess in addressing that, I guess there has to be an understanding of the different types of connectivity, and also the purpose of, you know, the different systems which serve these types of connectivity. So when we talk about public safety systems, those are primarily, you know, LMR, DMR systems, you know, P25, phase one, phase two systems that are there for allowing seamless connectivity, voice communications, and some limited data traffic for first responders. Now, we shouldn't forget when we're talking about safe buildings or public safety or the safety of the public, that it's also important that, you know, somebody can make a 911 call, right? The majority of 911 calls originate from in-building, and these calls aren't handled, aren't served by public safety systems. They're usually LTE systems, a separate commercial cellular system. These are also the systems that, for example, if a first responder was attending an emergency, if they had connected devices like body cams or other such, you know, devices on there, they would likely connect through something like the FirstNet network or Verizon's own system over LTE, specific bands, specific channels there on it with a high priority. But again, those are typically served by a commercial system because it's LTE and, you know, the frequency bands that are involved there. I would say individually we're starting to take a holistic approach there, but I think potentially there needs to be a little bit more overlap or crosstalk between the commercial world and the public safety world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like you mentioned, with the adoption of FirstNet in particular, a lot of those things are starting to get melded, more especially as it becomes not just about the voice communications, but also many of these data applications and things like that, and location-based services that are important both for the first responder and the people they're trying to help. But so Jonathan, when people are designing public safety networks, what are the most common challenges or oversights that you encounter?
Okay, I guess I'm in a kind of a unique position here to be able to comment on this question. So even though we don't do service work ourselves, obviously we support our customers, and we're involved in a lot of proof of concepts, test beds. So I guess there are three common, I guess, challenges or oversights that you see in RF designs, specifically in-building designs. And the first one of those is identification and understanding of the real root cause or the root challenge that you're trying to address with these systems. And that may be, you know, differentiating between voice connectivity for first responders and limited data connectivity, and actually providing connectivity for, you know, connected devices and commercial cellular connectivity. It may be, for example, as we talk about IoT, and we start looking at spectrum sharing, we start looking at, you know, CBRS, for example, understanding the types of applications that you're trying to serve with the system. So understanding your user base, understanding what they're trying to do, because ultimately that's what you're trying to serve. It's not just that, okay, I need NEG 95 over 95% of the floor space. That's just a simplification. And often when we look at those simplifications, it causes a lot of troubleshooting and potentially a lot of pain later on in the design process. The second challenge, of course, which is always inherent with pretty much every in-building design, is the quality of the building model or the built environment. So that comes down to assigning the correct materials, making sure that you're adding enough information and enough detail into the building model, but not so much that potentially you're over-engineering, because over-engineering can be as bad as under-engineering in a sense. You know, providing too much information can introduce too many variables, and then you never get a conclusive decision. And then the third is very much a long system design and KPIs that you're basing your design on. So once you've identified the root challenge, the core challenge that you're trying to address, having an understanding that there are two sides to every conversation, right? And it's the same in telecommunications. You have downlink and you have uplink. Many systems are traditionally designed on the downlink, which is great. On the face of it, it looks like you have homogeneous coverage, homogeneous service. However, so that's your handset's ability to hear the system in effect. But on the flip side of that, your handset also needs to be able to talk back to the system. So it needs to be able to send data, traffic back to the system. And that's what the uplink, the uplink serves. And that can often have a very different footprint to your downlink. So for example, where you may have a more challenging physical environment or built environment, maybe where you have, cladding, aesthetic cladding, or where you have reinforced concrete, so you have steel going through the concrete in places like elevator shafts, you may find that you become uplink limited, which is bad. You know, if a first responder can't key up, can't talk back to the system, then fundamentally it's great that they can hear everything that's going on, but it's still, you know, falls short of expectation there.
Right. Well, now that makes a lot of sense. So given all of those challenges and the things you're seeing, as you look ahead, what are the significant changes you forecast in regarding the way in which wireless networks are designed and managed?
Great question. So I guess stepping back a little bit and taking a higher level view of the industry in general, what we're starting to see is a fundamental shift away from functionally fixed proprietary hardware towards software-defined systems interacting over open interfaces, so things like ORAN, for example. So these are your digitally defined or software-defined systems. Now, this makes it much more important for design tools like RAMPLAN, and obviously I have a little bit of a bias here, to support these interfaces and be able to interact with them. So be able to pull information that is valuable to the design process, but also be able to push information back to help the optimization of these systems. And what that, I think, is going to do is reinforce it's going to move us away from just purely trying to hit a KPI to application-driven design and optimization, which I kind of alluded to in the other two points.
Okay. All right. Wow. Excellent point. It's going to be... And go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt there. There's a little bit of a delay on the line, but the one thing that I would say there is, I know I talked at quite a broad level there, and, you know, this is a lot of things that we're seeing with in CBRS, you know, with private networks, we're starting to see it's fundamental in 5G NRs and new radio. And it's maybe a little slower to be adopted inside the public safety scene. But I think this will have benefits because it's going to, you know, enhance the ability to monitor systems. It's going to open up the opportunity for enhanced remote troubleshooting, and overall, it's going to help improve the robustness of these systems. So I'll shut up now, I promise.
No. That's important. So how do you, if I have a private CBRS system, you know, how does that interface with my ability to get that signal outside onto either a public safety network or just the broader public network, so that I can get my information out to either a 911 center or a headquarters?
So at the moment, what you're seeing, in the first wave of CBRS-style deployments or private LTE deployments, you're starting to see a lot of standalone private networks to serve things like security cameras and other connected devices where you don't necessarily want to run fiber to the site. So last mile coverage, areas that are difficult to serve with fiber, or in high profile venues where it may be ugly, for example, to run fiber, so aesthetically not acceptable, which I always find a little bit bemusing as an engineer, but I'm sure there'll be some architects out there that argue with me on that point. But what we're going to start to see, and there are a few companies, a few partnerships, ecosystem plays that we're starting to see with, for example, CTS and CommScope, so a large system integrator, MVNO, partnering with an OEM, providing a gateway solution. So you have your private network, your private LTE network serving whatever it's serving in terms of connected devices. You may know this, you may not, and listeners may know this or may not, but for the past 12 months, a little over 12 months, all of your latest Samsung phones, iPhones, so Apple and Google Pixels, have had the hardware inside them to support the 3.5 band, 3.6 band, which means you have not a massive amount of handsets, but a decent amount of handsets that could utilize a system with this gateway in, and you could make a, and what this gateway does is it acts as the interface between your private network and the carrier's network. So that would allow you to make an outbound call at a very high level.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, this is going to be very interesting, and I'm looking forward to monitoring this during the next few years. By the way, as information to the audience, or as a shameless plug, just want to let people know you can learn more about the planning, testing, and implementation of in-building systems during the in-building forum, which will be conducted virtually on November 18th and 19th, and brought to you by IWCE and conjunction with the Safer Buildings Coalition. During this event, you can hear Jonathan and other experts in the area talk about developments in the in-building space. A link to register for the event is available in the caption accompanying this podcast. And I'll tell you what, Jonathan, based on, you know, the things you're saying here and the things I'm seeing out in the industry, it looks like the in-building world in particular is really about to take off and change dramatically. I really appreciate you speaking with us today, and please keep in touch and let us know what you're seeing in the space and what RANplan is doing.
No, I'd love to do that, and hopefully we get the opportunity to speak again in the future. I'm sure there'll be some interesting developments for us to talk about.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
No, thank you.